Ladies and gentlemen, we give you a very warm welcome to our Bible address tonight. The Bible teaches that many will mistake Christ for the Antichrist. And our speaker, Mr. Simeon Hunter, will lead us in that address. But before we do that, we'll introduce it with the reading from the Word of God from 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
This very important Bible-based address. You see, friends, in that chapter that we've read, we read about the fact that prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, there was going to be the development of a system that would result in many being deceived and turned away from the Word of God, or turned away from a correct understanding of the Word of God, and would ultimately bring them condemnation. And what we also see is that that system was already at work in the days of the Apostle Paul. And that's what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But you know, it's very interesting, friends. 2,000 years ago, approximately, when the Lord Jesus Christ stood on this earth, the leaders of the nation, the leaders of the religious world in that day, rejected him. They rejected him and they persuaded the masses to crucify him. Pontius Pilate, as he was presented with this man, them demanding Pontius Pilate put him to death, he understood that for envy they had delivered him up. In other words, he had a position, they wanted it. And that's exactly what happened. He had a position. Almighty God, the Word of God, went to John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ and bypassed the leaders of the religious world of that day. For envy, they delivered him up to be crucified. They wanted his position. Now let's come and have a look at what the accusations were against this man. Because it's very interesting, friends. Come to John chapter 18, in actual fact. But we'll just make the note that's on the overhead there. They accused him of making himself a king. That's exactly the accusation that's going to be made against the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. And they're going to call him Antichrist. Get this subject wrong, and you will oppose the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. Serious matter. Prognosis, if you're doing that, if you're going to do that, have a look at the Jews of the first century. AD 70 came, nation wiped out, anyone that survived was sold on the slave market, the market dropped out of the slave market, slaves were worth nothing. Jewish life was worth absolutely nothing. That's the result. History's going to repeat itself. Maybe not exactly like that. The pattern is there. So here were the Jews. They accused the Lord Jesus Christ of making himself a king. So Pilate says, well, we've got a question. We've got to sort this out, because Pilate represented Caesar. And here was one who potentially was going to try and take Caesar's position. So he takes the Lord Jesus Christ aside and he questioned him. Let's have a read from verse 33 to 38 of John chapter 18 of what happened. And Pilate, verse 33, entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, did Jesus Christ say, no, I'm not? Jesus Christ said, sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate said, am I a Jew, thine own nation, and the chief priests? There you go, there's the leaders of the religious world. They delivered thee up. What hast thou done? And the Lord Jesus Christ now answers. You see, there's no denial that he's king of the Jews. And his answer is this: my kingdom is not of this world. Now, friends, if you want to understand the Bible, you need to understand these words world in the Bible. You will not understand the Bible if you don't understand these words. The word world there means this order of things. It's not of this order of things. That was about to be destroyed. If my kingdom were of this world, then on my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. It's a future time when my kingdom's going to be established. 2 Thessalonians 2, mention that point. And Pilate says, well, art thou a king then? And Jesus says, absolutely, thou sayest that I am. Absolutely. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And so forth. We don't need to read the rest. Apart from the fact, Pilate, whose job was to defend Caesar, what's his conclusion? Look at the end of verse 38. I find no fault in the man, because he says, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm a king, but that's future. I'm going to return to the earth to establish that kingdom. What was the outcome? The religious leaders rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stated, we have no king but Caesar. In other words, we're going to put our trust in the Roman leader. It's going to happen again. That's what's going to happen again. And therefore, they crucified Jesus with the accusation put above his head. And that word accusation, if you look up the Greek, it means fault. This was his fault. He's the king of the Jews. That was his fault. Now, was he or wasn't he the king of the Jews? Well, let's leave it in no doubt. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and see what Mary was told when the angel came to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a son who would be the Son of God. Luke chapter 1. And we want verse 31 to 33. We're told in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So we know who's talking about. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, and the Lord God shall give unto him his throne, the throne of his father David. He's going to be a king. He's going to rule on the throne of David. That's got to be Jerusalem. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here is the king of the Jews. He's going to be the king of the Jews, but his kingdom is not yet. And so the Jews rejected that. They wanted someone who was going to deliver them from the Romans. And so desperate did they come to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they said, well, in actual fact, we've got no king but the king of the Romans. That's how desperate they got. And the result was they ended up at the mercy of that king of the Romans. I want to come with me to Acts chapter 4, because in summarising these things, the first century believers actually quoted an Old Testament quote that tells us that in actual fact, the things that happened then are a pattern of things that are going to happen in the future. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 4. We want to go to verse 25. In Acts chapter 4 and at verse 25, we read these words. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. So now he's quoting the words of David in the Old Testament. Who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers, their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And they're going to summarise how they understood this. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. First century believers, in summarising what was done to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified, quoted Psalm 2. Now, Psalm 2 is actually about the exact subject of our lecture. When those who get the subject of Antichrist wrong and oppose the Lord Jesus Christ when he is established as king. And what they're saying here is a foretaste of what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth. Now, if you've got a Bible with a margin like mine, you'll see that in verse 25 it says, cited from Psalm 2, verse 1 to 2. That's exactly where it's come from. I highlighted those words. That's where it's come from. Let's go back to Psalm 2 and let's see what this prophecy in the Old Testament was all about. And what we're going to see, friends, is The people are going to imagine that they can depose the Lord Jesus Christ when he is established as king upon the earth. And then we're going to come to understand why that is the case. You see, Psalm 2 is about, we could perhaps summarise it as the response to Christ becoming king in Jerusalem. We want to set the time frame. When is this prophecy, this psalm, talking about? Well, we want to go to verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. It's talking about the time when God has established his king upon the holy hill of Zion. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Luke chapter 1. But then again, you can go to verse 9. We don't have time to do that, but in verse 9, those words are quoted with a future application in Revelation chapter 2. I can show you that afterwards. It's talking about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is king. And so here is the time when God has established his king, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Mount Zion as king over the earth. What's the events? Well, verses 1 to 3. Let's read verse 1 to 3 and let's see what happens when these things have taken place. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The same words as we've read before, isn't it? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What's the result going to be? God, sitting in the heavens, shall laugh. He's going to have them in derision. Why? He's going to vex them in his sore displeasure because he's going to tell them, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. This is not Antichrist. It's my king. I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's the point. All of a sudden, the realization is going to come that these people have said that's Antichrist when in fact it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you know, friends, what we're going to show you throughout the course of this lecture is this, that many of the doctrines of the churches teach that Antichrist will do the very things that Jesus Christ will do when he returns. And so what they're going to do is when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth, when he returns as the King of the Jews, and when we find that he's a Jew, and when we find he makes a covenant with the Jews and establishes a temple in Jerusalem and is set up as king in Jerusalem, that's exactly what they expect Antichrist to do. You see why I said, get this doctrine wrong and you'll oppose the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. Well, let's have a look at some examples of the false teaching that happens. First point. This is the false teaching of Christianity, of many of the religions of Christianity. They teach that Antichrist will be a Jew who will arise to lead the Jews. You may be starting to see why we emphasize the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was born King of the Jews. They're going to say that's Antichrist. Let me just give you a couple of examples. And believe me, friends, if you want to do a search on the internet, you won't find one or two, you'll find hundreds. Okay? Some of them have slight variations. Here's a book, Will the Real Antichrist Please Stand Up? Here's what it says. Several other items lead Bible students to conclude that Antichrist will be a Jew. It is hard to believe that Israel would receive a Gentile Messiah. No Gentile would pose as Christ with any success. So they believe that he will be a Jew. Then we're told that Antichrist will actually pose as the Messiah. He will claim messianic titles and privileges. The Antichrist is a person who will attempt to convince Israel that he is their long-awaited and long-anticipated Messiah. Well, friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, What does the Bible say he's going to do? Well, the Bible's pretty clear, and I could give you piles of passages that tell us this. We've already seen how he's the King of the Jews. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King of the Jews. The wise men that came to see him shortly after his birth, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" The Jews, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, will accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 12 makes some very interesting points in relation to this, because the history of them rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and crucifying him, they'll have to come up and face up to as a nation. And in Zechariah chapter 12, it talks about how that they shall look upon him whom they pierced, look upon me whom they pierced, and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. They'll come to realize how their treatment of the Messiah affected God. They'll come to realize that in effect, they not only mistreated the Lord Jesus Christ, but they mistreated God. And the Gentiles were complicit in that, weren't they? Pontius Pilate and all his friends, Herod. Romans chapter 11 tells us, actually, in fact, Romans chapter 11 is quoting an Old Testament passage. It says, "There shall come to Zion a deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So he's the King of the Jews. He's going to come to the Jews. And they're going to see him as the Messiah. And the world, Christianity, is going to go, "There's proof he's the Antichrist. There's proof he's the Antichrist." Not only that, we're only going to give you 5 points, 5 doctrinal differences here. There's many more. Not only that, the Antichrist will be a world ruler. He's going to rule from Jerusalem. That's what the churches will tell you. Have a look at the book on Armageddon there. It reads this: "Jerusalem, the capital and center of the world's dictator," that is Antichrist, "that's where he's going to rule." That's what it claims. Is Antichrist going to rule from Jerusalem? We go to the words of, and I've lost half the text there. We go to the words of Saint Anselm. And he says that Antichrist will rule the world from Jerusalem. We could go to Rabinus Marius. And he says that Antichrist is going to make Jerusalem the capital city of the world. Friends, you can go and have a look at all the teachings of the churches on the internet, full of it. Site after site says these things. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do? You see, the Bible tells that the Lord Jesus Christ will rule the world from Jerusalem. We have that. We've read that in Luke chapter 1. We go to Isaiah 2 verses 2 to 4, which talks about the law going forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All nations coming to Jerusalem to learn of God and of his ways. We looked at Psalm 2 verse 6, did we not? Psalm 2 verse 6, when God vexes the nations, says, "No, it's me, God, that set that king on the holy hill of Zion." When that angel came to Mary in Luke chapter 1, he was actually quoting from the promise to David. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and see that that angel was actually quoting the Old Testament and was showing us that here is the fulfillment of a promise that was made to David so many, many years ago. 2 Samuel chapter 7. You see, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32 and 33, we're told that he shall be great. He's going to be the son of the highest. Well, let's have a look at what it says in verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're told, "He shall build a house for my name." There's that house that he's going to build. It's going to be in Jerusalem. and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father and he shall be my son. He's going to be the son of the highest. The throne is going to be established forever. He's going to rule over, just give him the throne forever. I will set up he's going to be, his father will be David. Well, that's what God said. Okay. Verse 12, when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. He was going to be the greatest son of David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Early in the promise, God says concerning the children of Israel, verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Talking about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is king over that nation. You know, for many years, there wasn't a nation of Israel. There wasn't a place you could go to in the world called Israel. It is now. These things are starting to turn around. Thy kingdom shall be established forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so we're being told, here is the fulfillment of an Old Testament promise. One of the key promises of the Bible about a king. The Lord Jesus Christ, who would be a son of David, who would reign on the throne of David, ruling over the nation of Israel forever. And you know, you open up the first page of the New Testament, you go to the first verse of the Bible, and it says, Jesus, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Saying, go back and look at the promises of the Old Testament. Here they are being fulfilled in this man. The religious rulers of this world don't believe that. That's what you'll find. You'll find that they don't believe that. That consequently, what they're going to do is they're going to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone that follows them will do likewise. So let's come back and look at another example of the false teachings of Christianity and what they teach. Well, they teach that Antichrist will bring peace to the earth. There's going to be a period of peace that he'll bring to the earth. It talks about a period of 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's actually a total misapplication of scripture, of placing things that belong 2,000 years ago at the time of the return of Christ. During that period of tribulation, the Antichrist will reign as a prince of peace and pursue world unity. Then he will make his big move to gain absolute power. That's what they teach. Go to the website talking about raptureready.com. It says this: the Antichrist will use his satanically supported skills to produce a false peace treaty, a covenant in the Middle East. Israel will be fooled into believing that this awesome feat is for their benefit and will treat him as a messianic figure. And here's this covenant, this peace that they teach that he will bring. Well, that's what the scriptures say the Lord Jesus Christ will do. In actual fact, one of those passages actually picked up, there it is, Prince of Peace. He's going to reign as a Prince of Peace. That's the title of the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about his establishment as king. He's the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He's going to establish peace on the earth. We could go to Isaiah 65 and see that peace. We could go to Isaiah chapter 11. All of them talk about the unprecedented peace that's going to take place as a result of the Lord Jesus Christ being established as king. These people say, there's proof it's Antichrist. You see what's going to happen, friends? They're going to oppose him to their own destruction. Let's have a look at, they teach. So look at the fourth point. They teach that Antichrist will make a covenant with the Jews, a little bit of an overlap with the previous point. The Antichrist's covenant with Israel, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, indicates that Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years, which will be broken in the middle of the tribulation when it suits his purposes. This covenant will only serve to keep the children of Israel from seeking God. Just as they looked to Egypt in the Old Testament, they'll look for help and alliance to Antichrist for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. You know, Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 is not about the future. It's about the Lord's first advent, when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. Taken the word of God and applied it how it was never intended. You take the prophecies of God and apply them to the wrong period of time, you're going to get into trouble. The result was, well, it's exactly the opposite. It's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do when he returns. Ezekiel chapter 37, talking about, it says, David, or the beloved, the title of the Lord Jesus Christ, my servant shall be king over them, king over the Jews. And they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, and wherein your fathers have dwelt. There, see what it's talking about. It's talking about the Jews dwelling in the land that was given to Jacob. Dwelling in the land which the fathers of Israel dwelt in. It's not that long ago they didn't dwell there. What we're seeing, friends, is evidence that these things are going to be fulfilled. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, how long for? Forever. And my servant, the beloved, title of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. When that happens, what's going to happen? The leaders of the religious world will say, there's proof it's Antichrist. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. And so on and so forth. We go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. Talks about the massive change that's going to be brought about as a result of that covenant in the nation of Israel. And friends, when those things happen, the religious leaders will turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ and try and drag all their followers with them. Which side are we going to be on? We come to our fifth point. Our fifth point. Antichrist will organise the Jews to rebuild a temple. That's what the religious leaders of this world will tell you. Antichrist will organise the Jews to build the temple in Jerusalem. Taken the website catholicresources.org. Here's what it has to say. Quoting a chap by the name of John Hague. It reads this. I'm just going to read that highlighted section in the middle. Hague says that the Antichrist will allow the Jewish people to rebuild the Jerusalem temple and tear down the Dome of the Rock, the third most holiest place of Islam. You know, friends, it's really interesting because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he won't need to tear down the Dome of the Rock. He won't need to tear it down because Zechariah chapter 14 tells us that his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives is going to split in half. It's going to create a valley 60 kilometres long, from here to Mandra equivalent. The Dome of the Rock will be buried. There won't be any need to pull it down. It'll be gone. But what will the Jews say? What will the religious leaders of the nation say? They'll say, there's proof it's Antichrist. It's really interesting, you know. You know when the last major earthquake was in the land of Israel? 1927. Do you know when the one before that was? The earthquake, major earthquake before that was? 1837. They have a major earthquake about every 100 years. The last one, 91 years ago. The one before that? 90 years before that. Interesting.
Every website I looked at on this subject, and particularly the actual fact that the Jerusalem Post has quite a series of articles on it, it's really interesting. What's happening? The tectonic plates are getting more and more tense in that area.
And as those tectonic plates get more and more tense, the likelihood of a big earthquake increases. Pretty soon, that old lot is going to go. Zechariah 14 tells us it will. It's going to totally change that area. I looked at a map of the land of Israel and where the tension is. Heads straight up the Jordan Valley, heads out towards Carmel. Very interesting, because the Bible tells us that the Dead Sea, the lowest point on earth, is going to be raised up. The River Jordan is going to flow the other way. It's going to flow out to sea, probably out through that area of Carmel. And see that earthquake just totally changing that in a moment. All going to go the other way. It's all coming together, friends. What the Bible says. But the religious leaders are going to say that's Antichrist when it happens. They'll say it's Antichrist. What does the Bible say about the building of a temple in that land of Israel? Jesus Christ will build a temple in Jerusalem and reign there as king. Acts chapter 15, where it says that after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David. It's going to build again the system of worship that was established under David. There's a temple going to be established in that area. Zechariah, Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 tells us those things. Isaiah chapter 16. It's talking about the time when Russia has come against the nation of Israel. And immediately following that, it says, this is what's going to happen. In mercy shall the throne be established with the Lord Jesus Christ as king. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to sit upon that throne. Whereabouts? In the tabernacle of David. Now let's stop and think about this. Are tabernacles or temples for kings? Do kings sit on thrones in temples? No, they don't. But king priests do, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a king priest, and he's going to sit upon a throne in a temple in the kingdom of God. In Zechariah chapter 6, it shows how that Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the leader of the nation, are going to come together in one man, a king priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to build a temple in Jerusalem. That's the subject of Zechariah chapter 6. Could also go back to the quote we went to in 2 Samuel chapter 7, which shows that as well. What we've seen in those 5 points is that the religious leaders of the world are looking for a future Antichrist. They're looking for a future Antichrist. It hasn't appeared. Where does the word Antichrist occur in the Bible? You know, many of these peoples couldn't even tell you where it occurs. It's really interesting. It only occurred in the epistles of John. So we'll look at a couple of examples. The Bible's quite clear when the Antichrist will appear. The Apostle John, he says this in 1 John 2 and verse 18 to 19. He says, little children, it is the last time. He's talking about the time that was leading up to when the nation of Israel was destroyed in AD 70. That's the time period he's talking about. And as we have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. There were many Antichrists already. 2,000 years ago, they'd appeared. Whereby we know that is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. It's talking about the corruption of the truth, as it was in the Lord Jesus Christ, that took place in the first century. And so what we see there is that in the time of John, the Antichrists were already evident. So it's not something that we've got to look for in the future.
1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. It was already evident in the first century, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The development of that system began 2,000 years ago. We've got to look for a religious system that can trace its roots right back. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have a summary of this religious system that was going to develop. It was going to develop very soon after the times that in which Paul wrote. And we're going to see that it was already at work in his day. And that's what we're told. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It was already developing. It was going to come to full development 280 years after the Lord Jesus Christ. Gestation period of a human, 280 his day. You see, it's a woman system. It's an unfaithful woman system that's going to bring forth a child. It's going to come to maturity at that point. You see, the Bible is very accurate in the way it describes it. But it was already at work in the times of the Apostle Paul. So let's have a look. Let's read through these words. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's a prediction of the development of the papal system. It talks about the development of the man of sin, who is going to ultimately be destroyed. He is the son of perdition. He's going to be ultimately destroyed. He says concerning that system that it would sit as God in the temple of God. And friends, you can go to the literature of the Catholic Church. It will tell you what the temple of God is. St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. It will tell you who God's representative is, and give him all the power of God in their mind. It's the Pope himself. Let's read on. Do you remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know. What is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You see, it was ultimately going to be revealed soon after, the Apostle Paul wrote. But it was already at work. It was already developing in his day. And he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And that was the pagan Roman system that restrained the development of the Catholic system. And ultimately it was going to be taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. He says the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. And friends, we could list those powers, signs and lying wonders. And you could list numerous examples of those things.
You could look at the amazing relics that they supposedly have, enough wood from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to make Noah's Ark.
Let's read on. And with all unrighteous deception. We can see the deception that's gone on. And we see the example of that in our things that we have considered tonight. And that deception will be among those who are going to perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. They refused to look at the Bible and find out what that actually teaches. Instead, they sat there and listened to the religious leaders of the day. And history's going to repeat itself. They'll listen to the religious leaders of the day and oppose the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. Why? Because he's the King of the Jews. Just like they opposed the King of the Jews at his first advent. And so this section is finished in verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And friends, that's what the majority of the religious world of this world is believing, is a lie. And the challenge to us all is to look into the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it won't be what I say that counts. It won't be what someone else says that counts. It will be what the Word of God says that counts. Have a look at what the Word of God says about these things. You see, here's the challenge to us, friends. Read your Bible every day. Notice what it says Jesus Christ will do when he returns. Have a look and understand. Fit it all together. Pray to God for understanding of his word. Study the Bible so you don't be fooled. So if you just sit there and listen to this person, how do you know he's telling you what's right? Here's the challenge. The Lord Jesus Christ, just before he was crucified, said this. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God. It was actually a prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ was praying to God. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How are we going to come to know God and Jesus Christ? By reading the Bible. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 tells us, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. They've got no hope. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the book of Revelation to the Apostle John. It was the last book to be revealed. And he gave it to the Apostle John, and right at the beginning of the book, he says, blessed. Blessed. To bless someone is to remove the curse from them. And ultimately, blessing is going to result in eternal life. And the curse of sin and death is removed. Blessed is he who reads this book. And those who hear the words of the prophecy. And keep those things that are written therein. You know what it means to keep? Not only means to put it in your mind and keep it there, it means to preserve it. To not allow it to be corrupted. And friends, that's going to require us to do that first point in particular. But also the rest of them. Read the Bible every day. Fill our minds with these things because they're easily forgotten. Well, friends, we've set before you a challenge, haven't we? The challenge has very high stakes. We get this subject wrong and we'll do exactly what the Jews did in the first century. We will oppose the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns to the earth. We need to search the scriptures daily to make sure
we are on the right side.